Well, very good morning. On behalf of Teach 613, we welcome you to Take 10 for Talmud. Special thanks to our host, Rabbi Yisrael of Cherry Hill. Shabbos Mem Dalet, Shabbos 44a, pagination page 87. And we're dealing with a concept of, or a number of concepts of Muktza as they relate to fire. Let's jump into the Mishnah, and then we'll see what the different factors are. Mishnah can be found on the sixth line of the page. Metatlin er chodosh avalo yasha. The first opinion is that you're allowed to move a new lamp, but not an old one. Rashi tells us that this muktza, which is not the primary muktza that we deal with, but this muktza is dealing with an issue, second line of Rashi, inner commentary, Chadosh has to be new, she'eino ma'us, because otherwise it's disgusting. The types of lamps that they had, particularly if they're made out of earthenware, once they were used once, they weren't very attractive. And the first opinion is going with a level of mius, a level of muktza, because it's disgusting. And there is such a concept of muktza, but again, as I said, this is not our primary type of muktza that we deal with. Rabbi Shimon says, and this is the biggie, kol haneiros metaltalin, you can move lamps. Chutz min haner hadolik b'Shabbos, unless it was a lamp that was burning on Shabbos. And that would mean even after it goes out, it remains muktza, because it was muktza at the time that Shabbos began. And that's the way that's the approach we take. Take a look at the Gemara, Tanu Rabbanan, Metatlan Ner Chodosh, Aval Yoshan, Divrei Rabbi Yehuda. You can move a new one, but not an old one. That's the opinion of Rabbi Yehuda. Rabbi Meir Omer, Kol Haneiros Metaltalin. You can move anything, chutz min haner shehidliku bo b'Shabbos, unless it's something that they lit on Shabbos. Now, Reb Shimon's actual opinion is more lenient as the Braisa continues, but that simple statement is the way that we would approach it. Now, what exactly is the muktza of a lamp that's lit on Shabbos? What exactly is the muktza? If you put money in a wallet, in a purse, so the purse becomes muktza because the money was muktza. Even if someone were to take the money out of the purse remains muktza because it's a basis. It was designated, it was underneath the money, so it became the same level of muktza as the money. Even if the money is removed, the purse remains muktza. Okay, so what exactly is the muktza of the lamp? You have a leichter, a menorah, candlesticks, and there's something burning on top. Now it goes out. Or even while it's burning, what is the muktza that I'm not allowed to move the candlesticks? Yeah?
Oil.
Why is the oil muktza?
It's being used for Shabbos, for light.
Okay, so the same reason that you're not allowed to take that oil and use it for my own uses, so it becomes muktza in its place. Okay, what is commonly quoted is the concern that you will put out the light, and therefore it becomes muktza in its place, because you're not allowed to move the candlestick for fear that you're going to put the fire out. The problem with that is, what happens if you would have a lamp that would not go out by moving it? It's such a definitive light. You go, you know, Thomas Alva Edison, you'll go search, you'll find the right medium that if this thing is burning, even if I move it, in the right dimensions, a thick wick, or I don't know what you'll do, a wax candle, you figure something out. What happens if you really work on it and you find that it won't go out? The example, of course, is electricity. you could move it, and it won't go out. But let's not jump ahead of ourselves. Yeah? What would happen if you would find something that wouldn't go out? So there's a second approach, which is mentioned by Reb Moshe and Reb Shlomo Zalman, which is that a regular candle is muktza, is a fascinating concept because it's a bosis to the fire. And because the fire is not a keli, because the fire is not an entity of its own, but it's there, so it makes the thing underneath it muktza. It's not a keli, so it's no different than a piece of rock in the backyard that has never been designated, let's say, carved into a vessel. So the flame is making everything underneath it muktza, because the flame is very important. It's positioned above everything, and it's not able to be designated into a keli because it's not an entity. You have one of these anomalies. It's there, but it's not there. A rock in the backyard, you could designate it as a paperweight. But the fire, you can't designate as a fire because it's not a thing. So it's there, making everything muktza, but it's not there enough to make it into a keli. And that's an interesting approach as well. The problem would be, what do you assess an electric lamp as being? You're not worried it's going to go out. I could easily move an electric lamp 2 feet over and nothing's going to happen. It's not going to go out. Also, it's not a non-entity like you described by the flame, because over here, the filament is burning, albeit very slowly, but there's a filament burning, and there's no fire above that. It's the filament itself that's burning. So the thing that's muktza is a thing. It's a bulb. And therefore, what would make the things underneath it muktza? Reb Nissen Karelitz writes that there's another type of muktza. Maybe if we have a moment, we'll see Amud Beis. There's another concept, which is that it's designated in its place, simply because it's important, like Machmas Chusaran Kis, because of its value. You designate a place for it, and you don't want to move it. A diamond cutter tool, you're not just using it to peel your carrots. You're leaving it on its place. So that's a different type of muktza. Muktza machmas uchisaran kis, if it's designated in its place. And he says that perhaps because something is plugged in to the wall, perhaps that means that it's in its place. And therefore, if you wanted to move it, I assume he means even if you wanted to move it on its axis, even within the radius that the wire allows you, but it's already been, that's how lights are. You designate its place. And the question, of course, remains, what about a flashlight? Flashlight is not designated in its place. It doesn't have this flame flickering on top. It's not a fear that it's going to go on and off. And you may be walking into a straightforward thing, either as they say it, we're not really sure why it's so muktza. And maybe we didn't come up through, we'll have to look through all the Rishayim and find out. Maybe there are other reasons why this Ner is muktza, because the Gemara is very definitive on it. Or maybe it's a Gzeira, and once we're in the Gzeira, it could be that's the way it is. That fire is muktza, and if you hold that flashlight is fire, which is very logical, then it's muktza. It's muktza. In any case, this is just a glimpse of this type of muktza, which is the fire. The practical application of it is that if people light the leichter on the Shabbos table and they want to be able to remove it so that they could clear the crumbs or whatever they want to do, so you have to do something so that the tray is not muktza, and like this you'll be able to pick the tray up. And the common method, if a person needs to do this, would be, let's say, to put the diamond ring, the woman puts her diamond ring when she lights Shabbos candles on the tray, And then when the lights go out, you'd be able to move the tray with the leichter by moving the tray so that the tray is not a bosses. Likewise, you might want to move the table. But I think more prevalent is that a lot of people don't light on the table, and they light on a stand adjacent to the table. But everybody has their own method, and that's all good. Turn the page. We'll briefly just mention another issue regarding muktzah. Fourth line. Rav Yehuda Amar Rav. Rav Yehuda said in the name of Rav, Mita sheyichada lemaos. You have a bed. You have a platform that was designated for money. Hiniach lemaos aser letaltala. If you put money on it and it was there, the entire Bein HaShemashos, between sunset and nightfall, then you'd be prohibited to move the bed, even if the money got removed. Lo hiniach lemaos mutar letaltala. But if you did not have money on it, then it's permitted. And the question is, what does the yichada, designating it for money, what level does that have? And there is a Ramah which mentions yesh osrim b'yichada, that some say that if the bed was designated for as a money-changing bed, so then it doesn't have a Shabbos use. And just from that designation, it could actually acquire a level of muktzah. Mishnah Berurah there says, because you designated it in its place, and it stays there, and that's what it's used for. And perhaps that's what Rav Nissim Karelitz means when he says that something that's plugged in particular, it has its place. And there's a level of muktzah somehow of that type as well. Okay, we'll stop there. Yeshakoach, have a wonderful day. Good Shabbos.